It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Final hour, Gasper and Murray, no Big Jim.
What do we think Big Jim's up to right now in Nashville?
He's probably seeing the sights. We talked about it a little bit. You know, if I was going, I was going to go to that.
He's probably seeing the sights. What does that mean?
Well, you know, whatever you have to do there. They have that replica of the Parthenon. Centennial Park's pretty nice. But I believe...
That's where he's at, the Parthenon?
No, if I really want to tell you where I think Jim's at, I think Jim is at Kristen Cavallari's store in Nashville right now, because Jim and I talked about that.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. He watches that show. Barry Cavallari, Jay Cutler. She has that store. What's the name of the store? I don't even remember. But
I don't know. That's one of the shows. We were talking off the air yesterday in a big pre-show meeting for this show. Very professional. You guys do pre-show meetings every week. Like, I see you outside the studio on Fridays, like, before you come here, like, what are we doing? So we were meeting yesterday. And I get sucked into a lot of crap television with my wife, but that's one that hasn't happened.
It's Uncommon James, Tracy just told me. That is exactly what it is.
Uncommon James is the store. That's where Big Jim is right now?
I think that's where Jim is right now.
What's he doing? What do you do there?
Checking out the merchandise.
Checking out the merch?
Yeah.
I see. Yep. I see. Oh, interesting. At the store then, eh?
Doing a little window shopping.
Anyways, so he's out, I'm in, much to the chagrin of the greater Boston area. We're here till 2 o'clock with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. A lot happened in the last hour, Gasper.
Oh my God, yes.
Two significant stories. Number one, we told you about. Jimmy Butler has been traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, and I feel like I didn't exactly verbalize my thoughts on the trade the way I wanted to. I'm surprised Philly would give up the guys they gave up. Not that it's a significant haul for Butler. You just think if they want to contend, Saric and Covington are the guys you'd want to keep around. Not really Fultz, who I really liked coming into the league. But Fultz feels like a logical guy to give up. If you're going to trade for Jimmy Butler, and the reporting now is they might keep him. What was the latest on that, McCone?
Yeah, Woj tweeted out that the Sixers fully expect to reach a deal on a long-term contract this summer with Butler. Sixers have plans to add Butler to a big three of Embiid and Simmons.
So that, right, a big three. There's no big four, so like get rid of Fultz. Seems like the logical thing to do. And keep guys like Saric and Covington, who would be good role players around those guys. I'm just surprised that's what they've gave up. I'm also surprised that's all Minnesota would want. Maybe that's reflective of all Minnesota could get.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, if you're Minnesota, don't you at least want some sort of first-round pick in that deal? I mean, yeah, I get it. Philly's a playoff team,
yes.
but still,
yes, the answer is yes.
If Simmons breaks his foot or, you know, Embiid gets hurt again, like, don't you want something from them where maybe the pick can pay? It's just bizarre to not get any sort of first, or even if you find somebody at the end of the first round, you find the next Kyle Kuzma or whatever. Wouldn't you want some sort of first-round pick in that deal?
Caris LeVert at the end of the first round.
Yeah. Don't you want somebody like that?
You would think. So that it's a weird deal all around. Bottom line, the Sixers did get better. I don't love the fit because Butler's not a shooter. I think they need some shooting. But he's an all-star. He's a legit two-way guy. And I agree what you said. He'll add some attitude and some edge to that team that needs it.
Because
Embiid was soft in that series last year, and Simmons was timid. Like, Their coach, I'm not sure, totally knows what he's doing. So, like, they need a little edge. And Butler has that. I mean, Butler absolutely has that. So that's story number one. Story number two, Gronk out this week.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, that's, you know, that's big not only for the Patriots, but just for Gronk. I was just looking this up. I mean, to get $1.1 million, he needs 80% of the snaps. I mean, right now he's at like 71.1.
Right.
And that's not counting the game that he's going to miss. He's going to get 0%, obviously.
That's out of total snaps all year.
Yes.
For listeners who are unaware of that, that's not do you play 80% of the games you're in.
No.
That's snaps for the entire year. So when you miss games, you miss out on a prorated game check over 16 games. What
he's
was it?
One, on that. It's $109,375. So he's now, this would be the third one of those he's missed.
Okay. So 300 plus K, he's missed out just on the per game, prorated game check. And then on top of that, he's hurting himself with the snaps. He's not going to get to 80% when you're missing four full games or three full. What is it going to be up to now? Three full games?
Yes.
It's going to be harder and harder and harder to get to that number. Never mind the 9 touchdowns and never mind the 1,085 receiving yards and whatever the receptions
catches.
Number is. Like, he's going to miss out on all of that.
It feels like it. It feels like it. And I feel like that does matter to him. I'm sorry. It does.
Of course. So you made a great point. You don't put it in your contract if you don't care about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's in there for a reason. If Gronk didn't care about it, it wouldn't be in the contract. Gronk would play for his contract. They care about it, meaning the Gronk clan, so it's in there. Same thing with Brady. Brady cares about his incentives. That's why they're in there. If he didn't care, he'd say, well, no, I'll play for $15 million. He wants the $20 million. He wants the extra $5 million in incentives. That's why they're in there in the first place. Incentives are, they're negotiating. You asked Felger and Maz. You guys don't care about your bonuses and your contracts?
Yeah, your ratings bonuses.
You don't pay attention to that? You don't follow that? You don't care about that? I can tell you that I pay very close attention to the bonuses that I don't always hit. I pay very close attention to that. So, yeah, I'd imagine that those guys do too.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point before, right, we talked about this at the start of the show. Doesn't it seem like he was putting on an act yesterday?
Yes.
I'm super happy. I'm
sad,
happy.
Sad clown laughing through the tears. Yes, that's how I put it. It was Gronk trying to put on a front and overcompensate for whatever Rob Gronkowski we saw last year that's probably miffed about his incentives and his contract.
Yeah, and sad about his physical state and, you know, not playing the game or whatever the issue. It just seems like, again, what we talked about, that he gave a performance. Maybe this one was, you know, was this an Entourage-level performance from Gronk?
Sure.
You know, his appearance on Entourage?
I'd say it's about
the
same.
Or was it more of like a Tide Pods commercial level?
No, please. That's a strong showing. I don't think it was that strong of a showing.
Okay.
What are those things called?
Tide Pods?
Tide Pods, yes.
Yeah.
It's not quite that level of a performance. I don't know that you can ever replicate that again. Why are they making Gronk available if he's not playing? I thought that was something that they used to do down there. Has that changed? Where guys who aren't playing don't talk? Has that changed?
Maybe at the time the decision wasn't fully made. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. They made Sony Michel available last Friday, so not yesterday, but the Friday before.
And he didn't
talked,
play either.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Okay.
He didn't play. And that's the other part of that news we shouldn't bury, too, is that Jason LaCanfora reported, and I know McCone's had in the updates, that Sony Michel's coming back. So I think that's big for the Patriots, give him a little more balance there. I know Cordell Patterson has filled in better than could be expected for a wide receiver, but you also have to watch the pitch count a little bit on James White. Like, I looked this up the other day. He had never had 100 touches in a season, just the regular season. He was up to like 121 after 9 games.
Oh, so it's like a Thibodeau Butler situation, I mean, with him. Or running him into the ground.
Yeah, you can't run James White into the ground because you're going to need him later on this season. So to get Sony Michel back and at least take some of the carries away from James White, I think would help.
Remind me, you have a good second guess when it comes to the running backs. We were talking about this off the air. You have a good second guess when it comes to the running backs. Deion Lewis, Sony Michel, James White. Let's get to that coming up. But in the meantime, we got some phone calls here. Jimmy Butler, Rob Gronkowski, Malcolm Butler, whatever you want. Gasper and Murray. No Murray. Jones is in. I know. Boo. I'll be here till 2 o'clock. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Patrick in the car. What do you got, Patrick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to call about the Jimmy Butler trade. I remember I called in a couple weeks ago and I called this trade, but I thought it was gonna be the opposite way around, and that Fultz was gonna be the piece moved. And like, I obviously heard you guys talking about it a couple of minutes ago. I don't know why Philly would trade that depth, because I feel like Covington as well as Saric are pretty valuable, like, to them, even more valuable than Fultz. Like, if they if they had have traded Fultz, like, I feel like they would be obviously more balanced.
Yeah.
So
look, here's what I would say, Gasper. If that's what Minnesota wanted, well, then you do the trade. If Minnesota's like, we need Saric and Covington, well, then of course you do the trade. But if it was a choice between the two, and you could have given up Fultz, who is a wild card, obviously much, much higher upside, but he's a wild card, and maybe that's even giving him too much credit. Or you could keep the role guys who would now fill in around your core of Butler and Embiid and Simmons. I think I would have moved Fultz, and I was a big Fultz guy.
I would have moved Fultz, too. Yeah, I was not a big Fultz guy, so I definitely would have moved
Were
Fultz.
You not?
No.
Yeah, credit to you. You were McCone, right? Me and McCone were like, yeah, my recent draft track record has not been good. I can tell you that right now.
No, I was not a big Fultz
guy. Hated Jalen Brown, hated Rozier.
Oh, I loved Jalen. I loved that pick. I was like, oh, this is a good pick.
Well, in fairness to me, I was a Jamal Murray guy over Jalen Brown.
That's true. I was not. I was
suck
not
on
Jamal
that from
Murray.
The other night. Yeah. Those 48 points right in your eyeball there, Gasper.
Okay, I'll
but
take that.
But I haven't had a good run when it comes to the draft lately, including Markelle Fultz, who I was all about. I pitched like a 2-week fit when they traded the number one pick. I stamped like my kid. I was pitching a little fit in my crib when they traded away.
It's not decided. I mean, Fultz, you know, here we go. First full healthy season in the NBA, but he still doesn't look quite right. So it's interesting. But, I mean, wouldn't that say something? Wow. It would be pretty incredible if it wasn't Philly's, you know, sort of decision here. In other words, if it's a situation where Minnesota is
like,
saying,
we want Saric.
We don't want Fultz.
No, I'm
saying we don't want this guy who went number one 2 years ago. We don't think he's any good. Can you imagine that? Because normally when these type of deals get done, that's exactly the type of player that Minnesota would be Fultz. And they say, we're going to build around, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins and Fultz, and we'll have a nice young team. So if they're like waved off Fultz, isn't that a major red flag for Fultz?
But I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened is Elton Brand, is he the one calling the shots there?
Allegedly.
I mean, he's the GM, but is he actually the one calling the shots? I don't know.
Feels like it's Brett Brown, doesn't it?
Probably. So they're protecting Fultz, and I think they made the wrong call on that. That's what I think. 617-779-0985. How's about Fred in the car? Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, how you guys doing? I know the sky's falling in terms of the Celtics, and they look horrible, but I just want to point out some high points from last night's game that made me think they might actually be getting it together. I mean, if you think that they were on the second night of a back-to-back facing a team that's better than their record and the fact that they didn't have Kyrie, it was a pretty close game. I mean, they basically, you know, they fell apart in the third quarter, and they played a little too much iso ball, but overall I think it was a pretty good game given you know, especially the fans there, too. They were going nuts because of Hayward. So
give them fans
were a big influence.
Give them a ribbon. Give them a little participation trophy. They went out and they tried hard last night. I'd agree with that, Gasper.
You're the best, Jones. Here's what I'd say about that.
I in fairness, I said this to you last night. Yes. I expected them to get their asses kicked last night with no Kyrie and on the second night of a back-to-back when they used all kinds of energy they shouldn't have had to use
had
against
to go to
Phoenix.
Overtime.
So I will give them a little participate. I'll give them a little pat on the backside. Good job. Way to go out there and try.
So here's where I agree with you on this, though, that, yeah, you know, they definitely went out there and got themselves back in the game. And I know there was no Kyrie and all that stuff. Of course, there was no Kyrie last year, and they made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, again, the ribbon and all that stuff. But there's a pattern here, Kyrie or no Kyrie. And that game against the Jazz, they were down 14.
Yep.
Like, they keep playing from behind. They seem to think they can just turn it on when they want to turn it on. And only the most elite of teams can do that, and they haven't established those credentials yet. You can't keep playing from behind and just saying you're going to flip the switch when you feel like it. That's what is alarming to me about that game last night and the Phoenix game as well. The idea that they feel like we're just going to roll out the balls and we're better than these other teams,
well, right,
so we'll win. And then when they get resistance, it's like, well, okay, now we're going to play because it's the fourth quarter. And
who are
like,
the teams
do that?
Who are the teams that can do that?
The Warriors.
The Warriors, LeBron. We even learned with the 08 that Celtics team, like that big three Celtics team. They went all the way on a run. I was doubting them the whole way. Shocker. In 2010, I was doubting them the whole way. I'm like, they're the four seed. Like, they stink. They can't flip the switch. And then, of course, they flip the switch and get to Game 7.
Yeah.
Those kind of teams. Teams that have done it. Teams that know how to win. This team doesn't know how to win. They know how to beat the Bucks in the first round. And they know how to beat Philly. That's not knowing how to win.
Another young team.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. So I think it's a fair point. Like, are they in love with their own press clippings? Are they overconfident? Jaylen Brown with five championships in the next 6 years?
No, he was just trying to impress that reporter, I think.
Yeah, I think.
I sort of felt for Jalen. He was so human in that moment. We've all been in that moment when you want to impress somebody.
Are you aware of her work? Taylor Rooks, I believe her name is?
A little bit. I know Murray's aware of her work.
I did. I made sure to do some real show research on her catalog of work.
Okay.
I made
she
sure
works
to do
for
that.
Bleacher Report, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
I made sure to familiarize myself. I wanted to, you know, for show purposes.
Yeah.
I wanted to really get down and do a lot of research on that. He's not the first athlete who's been distracted by her.
Okay.
Dwayne Wade had a bit of a...
Dwayne Wade
had a tough interview with her.
Okay.
Couldn't really focus. Arcan sent one the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, to Jalen, I know people were getting on Jalen for that. I don't think he was...
Michael Beasley. Michael Beasley had an interview.
Well, Michael Beasley has no focus.
I was going to say, that might be more of a Mike Beasley issue, but yeah there's been
I could have set a snowman in front of
Mike
Beasley.
There's been a few high profile interviews with her where athletes have had a little trouble.
I thought Jalen came off as very human in that moment. We've all been there when you're trying to impress somebody else that you just met, and I think that's where he was like, seven championships, eight. But what do you think, Taylor? Nine? Is nine what you want me to say? I mean, that's whatever. I mean, I think he was trying to impress her, and it just came off wrong. But I actually kind of liked it because I'm like, oh, this guy's just a regular guy. Like, we've all been there.
Yep. That's you know? Like, it's like me. I'm in the shadow of the great Chris Gasper over here.
Please.
I'm just trying to win over your approval.
No.
Just trying to impress you, Gasper. Just trying to do it.
Sure,
and then,
Jones.
You know, just overcompensating.
Okay.
We've all been there, Jalen. 617-779-0985. It is Gasper and Murray. We're here till 2 o'clock. We can continue to mix in your Patriots thoughts again. Malcolm Butler. Gronk is out this week. Plus, the latest from the NBA. Jimmy Butler to the Sixers next.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray with their scorching hot takes taking you up until 2 o'clock. Well, no Murray. He's in Nashville. Chris Gasper here up until 2 o'clock. You know who takes over at that point, Gasper?
Who?
Is it... Well, and see, I don't want to start anything here. I don't want to fan the flames of what could be a bit of a simmering rivalry. But is it McCone and Hook, or is it Hook and McCone? How's it written on the marquee?
Well, McCone, you're here, so you get to decide. That's the thing.
I think it's the first one, if we're being honest.
You think it's McCone and Hook?
Yes.
I got to be honest, I think that sounds better.
I think maybe it should go alphabetical.
Oh,
he's right. Tough. Schedule says Hook and McCone. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, no. That's what the schedule says. Yeah. That's like I used to have to tell Dan all the time, Dan Shaughnessy, on Saturdays. I'm like, it's the Dan Shaughnessy show, but then parenthetically, prominently featuring Adam Jones. And Dan never gave it the proper... He never referred to it the proper way.
You're right.
Because that was you can check the fine print. That was the official name of the show always back in the day.
Well, you know, not to go on a tangent, but way, way back in the day when I first started working for the station, they originally told me that my partner was going to be one Adam Jones.
Oh, did they?
And then it changed.
Wow.
They were like, no, we got to save Jones as a big gun. Gasper's a nobody. We need to put a big gun with Shaughnessy, and we're going to have this killer show.
Wow. Can you imagine? Imagine I would have torpedoed your career way back in the day. Who knew?
But they told me, oh, you're going to be working with Adam Jones, and then I was like,
who? Yeah, exactly.
And
you're
then
like,
I did a little
who?
Research. I'm like, oh, this guy seems pretty cool.
No, well,
you know. And then I ended up with Bertram, which was awesome.
Apparently,
so
research isn't your strong suit. If that's what you came up with,
I couldn't have lost. I mean, it worked out great. I've had every partner I've had on the show has been great.
Well, you know, sometimes it's the best trades are the ones you don't make sometimes.
Okay,
you could have been saddled with Jones all these years, so you really lucked out. You really lucked out. Beetle, Murray.
Yeah.
But what do you know?
But sometimes I'm just making the point that an unusual pairing sometimes can work out really well. And I feel that Hook and McCone will be excellent.
How'd Bertram
H&M?
How'd Bertram weasel his name into the name of that show originally? How was it Bertrand and Gasper? How wasn't it the Chris Gasper show? How did I get stuck with the Dan Shaughnessy show?
That's really more the question.
Not Shaughnessy and Jones. How'd Beetle worm his name in there
from the start? No, Bertrand didn't do anything. Bertrand was radio professional. He didn't do anything wrong. The real question is, Why was the name of your show, The Dan Shaughnessy Show, with Adam Jones? That's the real question.
No. I wish the name of that show was The Dan Shaughnessy Show with Adam Jones. That was just The Dan Shaughnessy Show.
I thought its formal name was The Dan Shaughnessy Show with Adam Jones. Was it really just The Dan Shaughnessy?
It was. That was what we call a fib. My name was never anywhere near that. I would try to shoehorn my name in there.
I actually thought your name was part of the formal name of the show.
Oh, no. If you play any of the imaging from that show, there is no Jones anywhere near it. Oh, no. No.
That was a good show. Too bad.
Again, goes back to the Beatle strong-arming people to get his name in there. Or maybe maybe Shaughnessy was strong-arming to keep me out. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe he did a little research.
Maybe.
And decided, no, we don't want people to even know this kid's on the show.
Maybe. Good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's what could have happened.
Now, you know, if you started listening at the top of the show, I wouldn't start talking until about 12 minutes into the segment. So, you know.
You are a little polarizing. I have to say, one person who listens to the show regularly already, like, sent me a text about you, Jones.
And that must have been glowing, I'd imagine. It was very,
no,
very positive.
I believe it read, God, that guy Jones is so insufferable.
Yeah, I don't see polarizing means that there would be people on the other side of that argument, right? You know, you have the strong vocabulary over there, but you should know polarizing means that there are people out there who feel differently than that. I'm not sure there are people who feel differently than that text. I think that's not polarizing. That's just the whole audience, I think.
Yep. God, that guy Jones is so insufferable. Yeah, that's exactly what it says in this text.
That guy Jones.
I just sent that to Gasper.
Anyways, it's Hook and McCone at the top of the hour. I'm just going by the official title, McCone. No offense.
Or McCone and Hook, either way. We'll let you guys decide.
Hook and McCone at the top of the hour. It's a bit of a thing. I mean, it's a bit of a thing. 617-779-0985. Mike is in Natick. What do you have today, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Chris, it's Mike. I'm the Boston Gardens jogger. So, there are a couple things that sort of can tie into sort of investment theories in terms of what's going on with your show. And, you know, firstly with Malcolm Butler, I know I'm jumping around a bit, but it ties into basketball as well. You know, there's the whole notion that psychologically we don't like to admit when we've made a mistake on something. And I think, honestly, with Bill Belichick, that's sort of what happened. You know what I mean? And that, you know, it's a tough thing where I think for whatever reason he might have seen something with Malcolm Butler. And there's also a saying, too, where, like, if you wait long enough, you can be right, right? You know what I mean? Like, markets turn, whatever, things change. So he might have seen something down the road, but it might not have been applicable in that game. And I think what he probably did was, as things were coming off the rails, he didn't really, you know, his pride maybe took over, his ego took over. He didn't want to make the decision to say, look,
I'm
going to play Malcolm and see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what that ties in with, too, with Gordon Hayward, same type of deal where, you know, we got this big free agent acquisition. He unfortunately got hurt, and now that's why the Celtics are still forcing him. You know what I mean? Even though he's not quite 100%, is that, you know, they don't want to make that admission that they made that mistake. You know what I mean? And then this also ties in with the Philly trade with Markelle Fultz. Now, maybe you're right in that Minnesota said, we don't want this guy. He stinks. I mean, even in my own fantasy basketball league, he's on the waiver wire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it could have also been where Philly is like, hey, this was the number one pick 2 years ago. We don't want to admit to ourselves and our fan base that we really screwed this one up.
Okay, so I don't think you're wrong, Mike.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those are good points, Mike. Thanks for the call, yeah.
But that's usually how crappy teams operate, right? Where they let their ego get in the way.
Well, it's human nature, though, I think is what he's saying. You know, as human beings, you strive for objectivity, but it's really not attainable. You have something and, you know how it's going to make you look. Like, even Brett Brown has said, so I'll go to the Sixers, right? Even he said, we owe it to the organization to basically to put Fultz in the starting lineup. They're not giving it to him on merit. I don't think Hayward's in the starting lineup on merit either. I mean, not right now.
No, I look, it is human nature, and that can cloud things. I like to think that Belichick and Ainge are able to cut through that a lot. Like, Brett Brown probably is giving into that in the Sixers. Let's put them to the side.
Okay.
You know, Belichick, I mean, certainly has an ego.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not going to be right 100% of the time. I do like to think that, you know, when you preach do your job and the betterment of the team and all these things, you're able to kind of put that sort of stuff to the side.
Yeah.
Doing what's best for the team. No, so I agree there are moments where he's human, and this is one of them. It's part of the reason he was wrong. But that's how crappy teams run their organization would be my point. You just keep rolling guys out there cuz they're first round picks. or you know, you refuse to acknowledge a mistake. Like, I actually think Bill,
he's pretty good. He'll cut bait.
I don't know that he's going to tell you that he was wrong.
He won't.
But exactly, he'll cut bait.
Yeah, he'll cut bait
with first round picks who stink.
Yeah,
you know, he'll do that. So, yeah, I mean, I do think ego can get in the way in a lot of these things, big decisions in sports. But usually that's a sign of a poorly run team. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I really would love to know, to just on the Butler trade, I would love to know what happened on that. Was it a situation where Minnesota asked for Fultz and Philly said absolutely not? They refused to give up on him?
What do you think?
I mean, I think it's more that Minnesota is not interested in him.
Interesting.
I don't know. That's a guess.
I mean, Thibodeau wants to win now. There's no doubt about that.
And that kid's, you know, miles away from being whatever he's supposed to
and
be.
Covington is his kind of guy. Covington is like the kind of player Tibbs loves. Like, defense first. Like the kid they wanted in Miami, Josh Richardson, right?
Yes. Yes.
Like he's Covington is not as good of a version of Richardson, but like kind of a similar player. So maybe, I mean, maybe Minnesota wants to win now. I think that's probably the wrong approach.
Here's a tweet from Woj about 10 minutes ago, but after a winless 5-game road trip that ended with loss in Sacramento on Friday night, Tom Thibodeau had come to the realization that the Wolves couldn't win with Butler in this dysfunctional environment, sources said. He told associates that Mini wouldn't play another game with Butler. And so it also was like, look, we're just going to move him.
And Butler was bitching about his minutes last night, playing too much in a loss to the Kings.
Didn't want
to
be a...
Mark Stein, I saw this. I was reading this in the last break. Mark Stein reported that he's pissed. There was kind of a wink and a nod agreement that Butler wasn't going to play over like a 32-minute limit.
Oh,
there was kind of a wink and a nod agreement about his minutes limit that Tibbs wasn't going to run him into the ground.
Yep.
And then he's, next thing you know, he's playing 41 minutes. They lose to the Kings, and he shot his way
doesn't,
out of
town. I mean, I said this before, but doesn't this sort of sound like the Le'Veon Bell situation?
Yes, yes, where it's like, a good analogy.
There's too much wear and tear. You put all this wear and tear on me. I'm about to be, you know, get my big payday. I'm not going to jeopardize it for you because I don't really think I'm going to be playing for you when I get paid. I mean, that's what the whole thing. And remember Butler on this road trip? Didn't he, like, sit out games and, like, he was questioned about it and he got really pissy about being questioned about it?
Rest. Yeah, he was getting some rest.
DNP rest.
He made sure to play in the nationally televised game so he didn't get fined by the league.
Yep.
Because you can't sit those out without a good excuse. But yeah, he had
Popovich rule.
Yeah, he had some rest in there. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting deal, I think, for both sides. Because you look from Minnesota's standpoint and say, you know, should you have, like, it seemed like they had a deal done with Miami that would have gotten them Josh Richardson, and then they tried to sweeten it at the end, and Miami got agitated and said, forget you.
Correct.
You know, and now basically Butler really forced your hand and shot his way out of town, at least judging by these Woj comments. And so now you just had to sort of make the best deal you could as quickly as you could. And in the end, did you really get what you could have gotten? Did you get value for Jimmy Butler?
No. The Timberwolves butchered that trade every which way. You know what if they just wouldn't have traded for Butler, you know what they'd have right now? Zach LaVine, who's playing great in Chicago.
Yeah, he's been good.
Lauri Markkanen, who's been hurt.
Yeah,
that was a draft pick they gave
Lauri Markkanen. I like him.
So the Timberwolves screwed that up on every end. They turned Markkanen and LaVine into Covington and Saric?
When you put it like that.
That's not great. And 1 year of Jimmy Butler. I think they regret that.
They didn't make the playoffs, though, for the first time since 2000.
Yeah, he broke Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins in the process.
True. I'm just saying, for that organization to reset with their fan base, it's kind of like Buffalo, right? Buffalo made the playoffs last year. They're terrible now. But you sort of need that reset to break your drought to say, like, well, you know, we made it last year,
yeah,
guys.
That's true.
Like, you know, you can kind of sell a reset rebuild once you actually make the playoffs.
Right. Can't be a decade without making the playoffs. But if it's just last year, wait another couple of years, guys. You were just there. Don't bite off more than you can chew. 617-779-0985. McCone, busy headlines day over there. He's got all the latest, and then we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Starts beginning to tip off. Beginning the game, can't let guys get going early. You know, we're letting guys that, you know, we know we're going to do certain things, do those things, man. You know, that's a slap across Brad's face and his coaching staff who spends countless hours, countless days preparing us and giving us the tools that we need to go out there and to cut that off. So until we decide as a team and as individuals that, you know, we're going to stand our own, we're going to continue to keep getting in the mouth.
Okay, there's Marcus Smart. That's the comments you were referencing earlier, Gasper.
Yeah, those are pretty strong comments.
Doesn't seem happy with his teammates. I mean, again, Marcus, I'd just point out to you, you were part of the problem with Jamal Murray getting 48. and then Devin Booker lighting you guys up. I mean, I would say you were prominent in those assignments. Maybe Oladipo and certainly Joe Ingles will cut you a little more slack, but you know, you were kind of prominent in those guys doing what they do and getting their shots and lighting you up. So I wouldn't let yourself off the hook. But he said we, and it sounds like what he's inferring, and you said this earlier, is the coaches are delivering the right message. The coaches are telling players to do one thing and the players are doing another thing. And maybe this goes back to guys not being willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like. Or guys' focus is not where it needs to be. Maybe there's too much focus on the offensive end. And I know they haven't been good offensively, but I think they haven't been good offensively because everybody's focusing too much on their own offense. If they played more cohesively, if they played better collectively, I think they'd be more efficient as a team offensively. And I think, you know, Marcus Smart is obviously in the room. He knows what's going on. And I think this is a little bit of a red flag for Marcus Smart that he's saying guys aren't focused. They're not putting the effort in the right place. We're not being consistent. You know, Brad's delivering the message and we're not going out and heeding it and executing.
Yeah, I mean, look, and he's a guy who's been here. He would know. Now, you know, maybe he's a little resentful that guys have, I don't know if passed him by is the right word, but other guys have started to get different opportunities and maybe he hasn't. So maybe there's a natural resentment there. I don't know. But I agree with the sentiment that, you know, maybe guys are out for themselves right now as opposed to the team.
I think his overall message is, guys, wake up. You know, nobody's going to hand us anything as the Boston Celtics. They're not just going to anoint us the Warriors of the East. Like, maybe the media has done that, but our, you know, the opponents we face in the NBA aren't going to do that. Like, we have to go out and make it happen. So it seems like that's sort of the message from Marcus Smart. And I think even with this Jimmy Butler trade, you know, this is and I liked what you said before, like maybe Philadelphia smelled blood in the water. I mean, this is sort of a clarion call to the Celtics. Like, you got to get your act together here because there are other teams that are coming for you, and they don't look at it and just say, well, this is the team that's going to represent the East.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I wonder if Philly made the deal because they sensed an opportunity. I wonder if they've been working on it all along and it finally just fell together. Minnesota stopped holding out and the deal fell into place. But, you know, the Celtics look vulnerable. Whether they are or not, whether or not Philly picks them off, I have no idea. But they look vulnerable with the way they're playing. Let's go to the phones. Oliver is in Haverhill. Go ahead, Oliver.
Hey, guys. I just had a Bill thought sort of about this Gronk stuff. So we all know that Bill's a great coach, and we all know, you know, in the words of Amendola, he doesn't like to pay players. I guess my question is this. Is it possible to be a great coach and be good to your players, or is the sort of the Bill screwing guys on contracts thing kind of part of being a great coach in the NFL?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, obviously it's a salary cap league, so you can't pay everybody. You have to make, you know, really tough decisions. I guess for me, the one thing that's always sort of tough when we talk about this with Bill is it seems like it's a classic, you know, do as I say, not as I do thing. Like, yeah, you know, everybody needs to take a little less and that helps the team and we do this. Oh, I'm the highest paid coach in the league. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the highest paid coach in the league and it's not even close.
Well, there's no salary cap for your coach.
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those
probably
things.
It probably impacts the football budget, though.
Well, I would imagine it would. But you know, nobody knows exactly what Bill's, you know, contract is, obviously. But it's widely sort of circulated in the industry that he is the highest paid coach in the league.
Well, and he should be, right? I mean,
he's the best coach, but then it's like, well, isn't Brady the best quarterback? So
yeah.
Shouldn't he be the highest?
No, right. It seems a little hypocritical to make sure.
It does seem a little hypocritical, doesn't it?
To make
just
sure that
a little
you're,
bit.
You're not taking a little less when you're asking everyone else to take a little less. No, that's
exactly.
Fair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
I mean, maybe if he takes a little, because there is a real money component.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe if he takes like a little less in the coaching thing, you know, there's a little more in a signing bonus for a player.
That's what I'm saying. When it takes away from the football budget a little bit, right?
Yeah.
If your football budget is $150 million
and
your coach takes up $15 million, and I'm just using hypothetical numbers here,
yep.
Well, then you only got $135 to spend on players. If your coach took 10, that's $5 extra million real money, not salary cap money, to spend on players.
Yeah, and think about a signing bonus is from a salary cap standpoint, you can prorate that over the years of the deal. So it's not like all that like hits the cap right away, or you know, so you can do it different ways. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I'd have to think about it a little more, but that's the one thing that's always sort of bothered me about the Patriots approach is, and everybody has to sacrifice and take less. I'm the highest paid coach in the league. Thank you very much.
Everyone has to sacrifice and take less, except for Bill, of course. I wonder, where do you think his kids rate in terms of the salary cap structure? You think they're well compensated for assistant coaches?
No, I mean, I think that one of the structures that the Patriots have over there is that because of what Bill makes, you know, they feel like he's sort of, you know, the guy, and that they can pay some of the assistants a little less, which is why it was noteworthy that Josh McDaniels came back. And earlier this year, when there was a report about what he was being paid, it was like, whoa, that's not normally the way the Patriots operate when it comes to paying coordinators.
Maybe Bill gives him a little allowance on the side. I don't know. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback, or actually you can get in line for, well, and I hate to do this. Is it Hook and McCone or is it McCone and Hook?
Yeah, we don't know. It's awkward. They're both in the room.
You know, I hate to
fan. So now that they're both in the room, I have no idea like what to say. Is it Hook and McCone or McCone and Hook?
Well, they're coming your way at the top of the hour. You want to jump in line, you can. And we have five questions for Chris Gasper coming up next.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions from Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too whack.
Well, I got bad news for you. No Big Jim. It's about to get a little more whack with Jones in for Big Jim Murray. Five questions with Chris Gasper. You ready, Gasper? The Jones experience almost over.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
You've almost been unburdened.
See, I have to say just quickly, the problem is the real secret of this segment is it's not about my answers. It's about Jim. So the pressure's really more on you.
Oh, it's on me now?
Yeah.
Well, now you've done it.
That's the real secret of this segment. No one cares what my answers are. It's all a setup for Jim's hilarious answers.
So he gets to ask you, but really talk about himself.
Exactly. That's how it works, and he's so good at it.
Brilliant. Question number one. Rotting fish and maggots are on the menu at Sweden's new disgusting food museum.
Oh.
It's a must visit, which is meant not only to entertain, but teach you about what's considered appetizing or repulsive. And how that may be a learned behavior that can change. What's the most adventurous thing that you've ever eaten, Chris Gasper?
I'm not a very adventurous eater. People who know me know this. I'd say the most adventurous thing I've ever eaten is fried gator.
Oh, little gator.
Little gator tail.
You've little had a little gator tail there.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, little gator tail's nice.
Yeah.
How about like a... No, like venison or anything
I've
like
had
that.
Venison.
Well, venison.
I don't think
you
that's
consider
that.
Yeah. Consider that less adventurous.
Yeah, that's not that adventurous to me.
Than a gator.
Venison's actually pretty good.
How's about like snails? Eating like an escargot?
I don't know if I've ever had that. I don't think I have.
Is that adventurous? I feel like that's somewhat standard. Tracy's giving me a look like that's not adventurous,
yeah,
Jones.
Yeah, Tracy says that's not.
I mean, I feel like I'll eat anything.
I feel like that's more risky than adventurous.
Yeah, maybe more risky. What's the most adventurous thing I've ever eaten?
Yeah, what is it, Jones?
Probably like a slice of pizza off the floor or something like that.
I was going to say like, you know, like cheese that's not from Vermont.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, okay. something way past its...
Some dairy product that's not from Vermont.
Something in my fridge way past its expiration date. I'm like, yeah, those are just a myth. I'm not all that concerned about those.
Actually, really, to say the most adventurous thing I've ever done, one time, this is totally gross, but I got some food from my parents and it was like meat. I think it was after Easter or something.
Yep.
This is my old place. I forgot to put it in the fridge. I found it like a week later in my room, heated it up and ate it.
Oh, that's exactly like me. Yeah. My wife is like, where'd you find that thing you brought for dinner? I'm like, I don't know, it was in the fridge. She's like, that's like 3 weeks old. I'm like, it's microwave. It all burns
yeah,
off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you, Jones.
It's all fine. So what's the most adventurous thing I've eaten? Something my wife cooked like a month ago. Every night at dinner. Question number two. So we were talking about this off the air.
Okay.
Yesterday. You mentioned that you were getting in a little dust up with a guy from The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. I think he was actually like talking more to Bedard. But I was just honored that somebody who's been on The Bachelor or Bachelorette was responding. I was excited.
Okay, so this came up that yeah. I was like, oh, I was like, I actually know who that guy is. I've been sucked into a lot of bad television.
Yes.
Watching with my wife. And The Bachelor is actually one of the shows that I've come to, the more I watch it, the more I'm kind of like, hey, you know what? This isn't so bad. Have you gotten sucked in anything?
Oh, totally.
That you originally did to appease your wife.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of like, hey, you know what? I like this.
Yeah. Real Housewives of Potomac.
Potomac?
Yeah, Potomac. Yeah. I was like, I'll watch
There's
this
a thing. Real Housewives of Potomac now?
Potomac, yeah. Gotten sucked into that. Southern Charm. I was like, oh, I'm just going to watch this for it's the Bravo shows. The Bravo shows.
That, what's Southern Charm?
Southern Charm is set in Charleston. It's like a reality show.
Oh, God.
My wife really likes it. And I was like, oh, I'll just appease her. But now, like, even if she's not around, or I'm like, oh, that's not in the DVR. I'm like, oh, let me just go to On Demand. I'm just going to watch 10 minutes
You're
of
like,
this.
You're like, I actually watched it without you the other week,
exactly.
But I guess I'll rewatch it. Fine.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can get into bad reality television very, very easily.
Okay.
The one that I currently kind of enjoy with the wife. You see 90 Day Fiancé.
So I've heard from Murray, who also watches this, that this is really, really good, and he has implored me to try it. I haven't done it yet.
You might want to get into a little 90 Day Fiancé. Right. I know him and I have talked about how Patrick Mahomes looks like one of the people on that show. Yes. Question number three. A principal in Swansea, Mass., Brian McCann, made news this week because he's been using social media to promote inclusivity and positivity among his students. Was there a teacher or a school administrator, Chris Gasper, who made a positive or lasting impact in your life?
Yeah, probably I would say I think it was fifth grade teacher, Mr. Marks. I think it was fifth grade. I definitely remember. I can honestly say, you know, he was like the coach that like you didn't want to disappoint. Like I so didn't want to disappoint that guy, sort of like a drill sergeant type of guy. But he definitely made like a huge impact on me in terms of, you know, that was a teacher where I was like, man, I better be on my P's and Q's and be prepared and be ready to go in school. Or otherwise, not only is this guy going to embarrass me, but he's going to be like disappointed in me. So I'd say Mr. Marks.
His name was Mr. Marks.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Fifth grade, you think?
I'm pretty sure it was fifth. It was either fourth or fifth, but I think Miss Hall was my fourth grade teacher. So I'm not sure.
And she's not who you want to give a shout out to.
Nothing wrong with her. I just Mr. Marks left an impression. Fear is a powerful motivator, Jones.
I hope Mrs. Hall isn't listening. No offense, Mrs. Hall. Question number four. Over the past week, Papa Gino's closed several locations. What's your go-to pizza joint there, Gasper?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm actually not like a big, like, I'll tell you, honestly, I'm not like a huge pizza person. I'm not a pizza snob like Murray is. Now, I just like going to that Blaze Pizza because they just cook
LeBron's
it really,
place?
Really fast.
Ay, caramba.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're a sponsor here or anything, but you're feeding, you're now paying in, you're paying into LeBron.
I just
now.
Like it. You can pick all your own toppings and it takes like, you know, 90 seconds to cook and it's good. You're in, you're out. It's fine.
Is it that quick?
It's pretty fast.
Is that their whole idea?
Yeah, kind of.
That doesn't sound that bad. Is that their pitch?
They're kind of like the Be Good. We've run through the entire bed here.
My mistake.
That's all right.
I've been blabbing away too long. I'm sorry. I won't tell you where. Like, White House pulled CNN reporter Jim Acosta.
Yeah.
His press pass earlier this week. Have you ever been in a pre- or post-game situation where a major clash has happened?
Yeah. Bill Belichick, after the on to Cincinnati game, like stared me down as he came off the podium, and I let him cross in front of me, and he stopped and turned to me and said, "Did you have to rewrite all your stories this week?"
And so he stared you down.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he was irritated by something I had written after the Kansas City game. The funny thing about that is I had picked the Patriots to win that game against Cincy.
Huh.
I had picked them to win.
So it wasn't a question that set him off.
Asked a question. I had asked him, I forget what it was. I don't remember the question. The question was something about, you know, basically saying like something along the lines of, is it nice to be able to, you know, shut up all the doubters or something this week?
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, you.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's basically what he was thinking.
And so we ended up having a conversation later on, like in the locker room. And
how'd that go?
It was actually pretty, I thought it was pretty cordial.
Huh.
But yeah.
That's good.
But it was a little clash.
I don't have any clashes. You'd have to leave the studio to have clashes with people. All I can say is Danny Amendola when he hung up.
Oh, I remember that. That was great radio.
That's about it.
Yeah.
You wonder why athletes don't come on the show.
You should have been nicer to him. You could be. Well, I think he broke up with Olivia Coppa, but I was like, you could be hanging out with them. You and your wife could be hanging out with the.
Oh, we could Amendola be watching.
And
we could be have 90 Day Fiancé night.
Yeah,
Danny, great. Come on over Sunday night after the game. 90 Day Fiancé. Before the 90 days, after the 90 days, there's all kinds of spinoffs, Gasper. It's great.
We gotta go. We're cutting into
McCone
and Hook.
What?
Or is it Hook and McCone?
Well, see, now you've done it. It's Hook and McCone, I thought, is what we're officially.
I don't know.
You're calling it McCone and Hook now. I don't know, guys. Have you guys Have you guys figured it out yet?
I think we've not really discussed it in-depthedly. We have done these programs together before.
Well, see, now you're asking for it because you're just going to come on without discussing it. You're just going to come on and just kind of call it something.
So I just want to let you guys know, normally station protocol is that the better-looking person's name is first.
Oh, wow.
That's normally how we do it around here.
That's why they didn't even put my name on with Shaughnessy. My name didn't even make it onto the marquee with Shaughnessy.
The more attractive person... Yeah. As is so often the case in life, gets the reward.
Yep. Well, consider this. Both Tim McCone and I have jobs in television. One of us is in front of the camera. Yep. One of us is not, most decidedly not. One of us actually appears on air in television, but voice only. So that gives you an idea of which one of us is the better looking of the two.
I like when you're driving around in the snowstorm.
Yeah, they'll put me on TV. So, right. So that gives you an idea.
So it sounds like it's McCone and Hook is what
you're
saying. Yeah,
I think so. Also added an added flavor to this is he and I will be flipping a coin every half hour to see who does the headline.
Oh, nice. Oh,
we're going to be doing our own headlines.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good.
Are you doing the coin flip on the air? You should do that.
We may. I
segment.
Think so, yeah.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. It's going to, and who knows? It's 4.5 hours. We may find other methodology to decide headlines as the day wears
again,
on.
Again, other methodology. McCone could simply say the person who's less attractive does the headlines.
This is true. This is true. As we have now dubbed him in charge of the program, that's the way it could go.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you guys figure it out. Hook and McCone. McCone and Hook.
Tune in just to see if they figure it out.
Tim McCone show with friends.
Right.
We were talking. Tim McCone and friends.
The Marshall Hook experience with Tim McCone.
We were talking about incidents with Bill Belichick. I'd expect one here. I'd expect one over the marquee on the name of the show. But we'll see. How long are you guys going until?
6:30.
6:30. Yeah, we'll see if you both make it. 617-779-0985.
I was just going to say, like, you know, how do you deal with it as a main host? Like, how come it wasn't like, you know, the Adam Jones and Nick Cattle show?
I'm still very, very obviously self-conscious about not getting my name on Dan Shaughnessy, so I just take that out on everyone else now. Rich Keefe doesn't get his name on the show. Cattles gets his name nowhere near the show.
I thought that show was the Nick Cattle show with Adam Jones.
Well, that's what Nick thought. That's what Nick thought. That was how some people viewed that program. Anyways, stay tuned for Hook and McCone, or is it McCone and Hook? Find out.